Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, August 4, 2022. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 562 of the Biden-Harris administration. 95 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram, the Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go. And our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there, it's the Goth Ninja. It is Spicy Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/fromthebunker. Also, David Ferguson from Astral Summer. We call him T-Rex, by the way. His music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. And we have a world premiere exclusive coming up later today. Brand new Astral Summer single. It's so brand new. It's hot off the presses. Don't touch it. It's hot. It's hot. Don't touch it, only with an oven mitt. Okay, and you know what else? We're going to play the whole damn song. We're going to play the whole thing. It's one of those rare occasions where we play an entire song on the show. And so I think everyone's going to fucking love it because I love it. And apparently everyone you've sent it to also loves it. Is that right, David?
So far. It's just, it's like, I don't know. I spent like...
All that buildup, I think, Bob. I don't know.
Yeah, people's reactions are great. Yeah. I feel like I've leveled up. This is like a new... thing. Like we're open. I feel, I don't know. I'm just so excited because it just really feels like I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, leave it to me to like really hit my stride artistically at 54.
You know? That's right.
He said,
I know how you
some
feel.
Some people never hit it at all. And I was like, oh, touche, monsieur. Touche.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll get into more details about the brand new single. It's called Higher Ground, and we'll premiere that at the bottom of the show. But before we get into any of that crap, oh my God. We're going to have an Alex Jones-a-palooza today. This is going to be like a Jones-a-palooza show. It's all Alex Jones all the time. Well, not the whole show, but we're going to talk a lot about Alex Jones and this one of four defamation trials that he's been subject to because of all of his lies and conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook massacre, which is a deadly serious topic. But of course, Alex Jones turns it all into a cartoon. Because he's like a dick and a liar and a con man of the highest order. This is
just a cornucopia of news today. We got news. So much news. We got news. Lots of news. Yeah, okay.
See, now you got to go record that. I need to have that as a jingle. There are four defamation lawsuits that have been filed against Alex Jones. This one that we're talking about right now, he's already lost. And what we're seeing in court happening right now is just a matter of how much he's going to have to pay these two families, Scarlett Lewis and Neil Heslin, who are parents of victims of Sandy Hook. And so that's setting the stage for this. Not only does he have to go through this now, but guess what? This makes it so much better. I mean, as if everything that happened this week in court wasn't awesome. And we're going to play some tapes here. But the fact that Alex Jones will have to go through this exact same process, not once, not twice, but three more times.
Yep.
The next one is in September. This current one The plaintiff's attorneys are seeking $150 million.
Good.
Yes, and every dollar of that is well-deserved by these families for what Alex Jones has put them through, what Alex Jones's minion have put them through. I can't even imagine, just setting the stage for all of this, what these families have to endure with all of these crackpot loons and conspiracy theorists pestering them. Because, you know what, I have nothing to do with this whole thing. And one of those assholes started pestering me and actually went up to my dad's front door and had, right, like conspiracy information, top secret data to present, I guess, to me. And in fact, he ended up at my dad's house and not my house because these guys are fucking morons. So that is, all being said.
Your poor dad.
Yeah.
Let's just all put our hands on our hearts for a second for Bob Seska Sr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having this sweaty, bug-eyed conspiracy theory freak show up on his doorstep out of nowhere.
Right, right. This guy was going around stealing all the memorial signs from the various Sandy Hook memorials. Like, there was a playground that was set up as a way to honor the victims of Sandy Hook. And then there was a sign that was placed outside the playground. And the guy was taking those signs and whatever else he could get his hands on. And he accumulated all these signs in his dad's apartment, which I guess is in Virginia somewhere. And that's how he ended up getting nabbed. That's what he was actually arrested for and convicted for, stealing all those, vandalizing those signs. So,
suffice to say, it sounds like one of you is playing with handcuffs, like just like
ratcheting. I don't know. I hear that sound too. I thought it was you sharpening a pencil. That's what I thought that was.
No.
Okay. I have no
idea. Judy, are you like grating garlic or something?
Yes, I'm grating some cheese. It's just very loud cheese.
It's broken cheese.
It's broken cheese.
You folded in.
Oh, fuck. That is so funny.
It's a day.
Oh, my God. Ooh, David.
Ooh, David.
Okay. So this is going to be fun. So the first clip I want to play is Judge Maya Gamble. She's of the 459th District Court in Texas presiding over this. By the way, she is up for re-election. So if you vote in Austin, please support Judge Maya Gamble this November. Here's Maya Gamble warning Alex Jones not to lie on the stand. Now, bear in mind her tone of voice. If she decides, nah, you know what, I don't want to be a judge anymore, she would be a great kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Just because she's treating Alex Jones like he deserves, like he's a kindergartner, like he's a child who has no restraint whatsoever, who just has to exclaim shit that's irrelevant to the question, and he lies on the stand constantly. Alex Jones is going to have a perjury problem if he doesn't already. That's a whole thing.
I'm pretty sure he already does for saying he never uses email.
Well,
and
right,
now they have
right.
like 2 years of emails and text messages.
Oh yeah, that's
so
just
that's out the.
That's just the beginning. Here's Maya Gamble warning Alex Jones yesterday to stop lying on the stand.
She's so over him.
Yeah.
You may not say to this jury that you complied with discovery. That is not true. You may not say it again. You may not tell this jury that you are bankrupt. That is also not true. You may have filed for bankruptcy. I don't know that, but I've heard that. That doesn't make a person or a company bankrupt. You're already under oath to tell the truth. You've already violated that oath twice today in just those two examples. It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify. Yet here I am. You must tell the truth while you testify. This is not your show. You need to slow down and not take what you see as opportunities to further the message you're wanting to further. And instead, only answer the specific and exact question you have been asked.
That is the very definition of communicating to someone like they're a four-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I mean, has he been getting away with this in other courtrooms? This is what blows me away. I mean, really, trying to get a straight answer out of Alex Jones is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the fact that she's having to break it down like this and be like, you are not allowed to openly lie to the jury.
Well, and then he says, I believe what I was saying. She goes, that's not that. No.
No.
It doesn't matter if you believe it. Like, I could walk into a bank and say, I believed it was okay to hold a gun on the teller and get the money out of the till.
Yep.
Just because you believe it was okay doesn't mean it is. I mean, it's just like, dude, and you didn't believe shit because guess what? We got 2 years of your fucking cell phone texts.
By the way, just to clarify something she was mentioning in that little scolding of Alex Jones is that he has now filed bankruptcy on behalf of Free Speech Systems, which is the parent company of all his little subsidiary companies. But prior to that, all of his attempts at shielding himself from liability by filing bankruptcy have failed. And the reason they failed is because they withdrew after it was determined that, no, you can't do this to hide from liability over all this shit. We can plainly see, it's so transparent that you're trying to hide from liability. That's why you're filing bankruptcy. So no, you can't do it. Can't do it. So now this week he's filed as Free Speech Systems. So we'll see how that lands. But my guess, it's probably going to end up getting rejected as well. All right, next up. Alex Jones admitted yesterday that he's got a torn larynx, which explains, at least according to him, why he keeps coughing during his testimony to the point where it's almost disruptive. Like when they ask him a challenging question, he'll be like, all right, hang on a second. I got to get some.
Wow.
Right. It sounds like that.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some of that. And it's just like, dude, do you not understand that we can see you? And once again, like, it's when you get asked it's only when you get asked the questions you don't want to answer that suddenly this medical condition flares up.
Mm-hmm, right. That's right. So he says, you know, I got laryngitis and a torn larynx. That sounds horrible. That sounds like he wouldn't be able to talk or breathe if you have a torn larynx. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
You wouldn't. I mean, if you have you ever had laryngitis? I have. You can't talk.
Well, I mean, something else explains the way his voice sounds, and it's not laryngitis. The reason his voice sounds like that has got to be that his vocal cords are just loaded with polyps. And I don't know if they're cancerous polyps or tumors or whatever, but that's why. I mean,
you don't need to grin quite so broadly when you say that.
How could you tell over audio that I was smiling as I was saying that? But that's what I'm imitating when I do that voice. And it's a miracle that I don't get a torn larynx imitating.
I was going to say, this may like, you may need to take this under advisory for your future Alex Jones impressions if it's like actually dangerous to your speaking voice.
That's right. But you know what? The weirdest thing is I could do it all day. I could walk around the house just doing that voice all damn day and it wouldn't make me cough a single second. It's kind of amazing. All right, here's Alex Jones admitting that he's got a torn larynx and that's why he's been coughing.
Okay. You've been on your show most of last week, pretty much every day last week?
I did an hour here, I taped some as well.
Okay. And you've been screaming and yelling on your show, right?
Yes, just like the media's been doing that.
Okay. I haven't been coughing on your show, have you? All these coughs in court. They don't happen on the full hour of your show. You don't ever cough, right?
I mean, I've got cough drops right here in my pocket. I've got laryngitis and a torn larynx. I mean, it comes and goes. It starts burning, and then it's uncontrollable. And I have actually been coughing a lot on air. If you guys have been watching my show, we'll have a cough button I can step on and cough. There's a button I step on, and I've been hacking and coughing. It's 100% real.
Well, the existence of cough buttons are real. I mean, that's actually a thing.
That is a thing, but the camera's on him, too.
Right.
Right.
So he just suddenly goes silent, and I mean, go on.
Yeah, well, then, exactly. You would see him going, start to go, and then you would see the visual of him hacking away without any audio, and then he would come back and keep talking. But you have to assume that everything he says is a lie because everything he said on the stand has been a lie. They've caught him lying time after time after time on the stand, and it's an amazing thing to behold. He's got no cognizance, no awareness of the fact that he's under oath, under penalty of perjury, And yet he continues to perpetrate these myths and bullshit that he's just invented for the entertainment of his ridiculous audience. It's an amazing thing.
He's one of those stupid guys that thinks he's really slick and smart.
Right.
You know, and he thinks he's going to be able to, like, flim-flam his way through this like he has every other fucking thing he's ever come up against.
Yes, exactly.
Understanding that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and Joe Rogan thinks he's just a comedian. That he's just, oh, it's so funny. It's so funny what he's doing. Why are they trying to stop him from being funny? Is that the thing? I mean, I wish he would just say, you know what? I'm doing a comedy show. You know what? This is all for laughs. I'm just making this shit up for the entertainment of people. And it's satire. I'm doing a satire. But that,
you know, it has to actually be funny.
Yeah.
For it to, you know, it's...
Right. It has to be Colbert,
yeah.
You know.
That's right. Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if he was trying like a Colbert thing? But he's not. He's 1,000% serious. Oh, my God. Here he is getting caught. This is the big deal from yesterday. This is where he got caught lying about what he's been saying in his text messages and emails. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his stupid fucking lawyer sent the plaintiff's attorney... The entire contents of his cell phone. It was one of those things.
Okay, I know everybody's talking about this.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about his reaction to it, but what was great was watching the plaintiff's attorney talking about it.
Yeah.
And the shot is the plaintiff's attorney talking and gestures to Alex Jones's lawyer, and the lawyer just nods like, yeah,
whatever. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here. I imagine Alex Jones's attorney wants to jump off a building at this point because of his client.
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And the tone of
because
voice.
Because of his incompetence, though. Yeah. I mean...
Let's give props to Mark Bankson, who's one of the attorneys for Scarlett Lewis and Neil Heslin, two of the Sandy Hook people. And his tone of voice in these proceedings is so entertaining. He's so condescending and so snarky with Alex Jones. You know what? Right. If Chez Pazienza was the attorney for the plaintiff, yeah, this is how Chez would have cross-examined Alex Jones. Just everything, contempt, just oozing out of his mouth. It's an amazing thing.
Jesus Christ, what a fucking own goal. I mean, if Alex Jones's lawyers were Brazilian soccer players, they would be dead.
Yeah.
So here he is. This is the big deal from yesterday. This is him getting caught about the content of his text messages.
Mr. Jones, you know how an iPhone works, right? You've had iPhone text messaging for several years now.
And by the way, I apologize for the audio. This is the best audio that I could find. And right. So I hope you guys can hear it because it is a little bit far from the microphone.
Yeah. What does it mean if the messages are in blue? Whose messages are those? Whose phone is this taking from?
I don't know who's phone's taking from.
Okay, what he's doing is Bankson is showing Alex Jones a printout of text messages taken from Alex Jones's phone. He said, what are those messages in blue? And he's showing the ones, you know, that appear on the right side of iMessage. You know what I mean?
I mean, I turn the phone over and said, take stuff off.
Can I have you look in the very bottom below the very bottom left corner? Is that your phone number?
Is that your phone number?
Yes.
Yes.
So you did get my text messages. And I said you did. Nice trick.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Oh. Indeed.
It's like an evil laugh. It was almost like Dr. Evil. Yes, Mr. Jones, we did.
Yes, Mr. Jones, we
Goodbye,
did.
Mr. Jones. Yes.
Indeed, he says. I want to hear that one again. Yes, Mr. Jones, indeed.
Get my text messages. And they said you didn't. Nice trick.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Oh. Indeed. You didn't give this text message to me. You don't know where this came from. Do you know where I got this?
No.
Mr. Jones, did you know that 12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protect it in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook. Did you know that?
Wow.
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment. I gave them my phone And then,
Mr. Jones, you need to answer the question. No, did you know this happened?
No, I didn't know this happened. But I mean, I told you, I gave him the phone over. And just
answered the question.
You said in your deposition, you searched your phone. You said you pulled down the text, did the search function for Sandy Hook. That's what you said, Mr. Jones, correct?
And I had several different phones with this number, but I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, there's another lie.
Oh.
I got several phones with this same number, he says.
Which is, that's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, what he's trying to set up is that, oh, I searched a phone with this number, but there weren't any text messages on that phone. This must be another phone, is what he's trying to suggest here, which is a fucking lie. That's his phone. Those are his text messages. He sent those text messages. What? Did some goblin come in? Because he's always talking about goblins and demons. Did a goblin, like a lesbian goblin, come in and send those messages as him? I'm surprised he didn't yank that one out of his ass. Jesus. I just want to clarify that that was a lie, and give it to the generosity of the plaintiff's attorney for not saying, oh, wait, by the way, Judge Gamble, that was a lie, what he just said about him having several phones with all the same phone number. That's not a thing. You can't have like five cell phones with all the same number.
What's his name? The prosecuting attorney?
Mark Bankson.
The family's attorney.
Yeah.
Bankson is like saying, you know, your attorney screwed up and they sent me your entire phone. And I just imagine right at that moment, Jones feels like he's falling from a very high place.
Yes!
You know, like the wind is whistling in his ears and he's just like, he doesn't know where this is going to land, but he knows it's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah.
It's just like,
when I was in ninth,
shoot the schadenfreude straight into my veins.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I was in ninth grade, I got caught forging my mom's signature on a report card.
Epstein's from Seska's mother.
Yes. I got caught red-handed doing it. And that's what I felt like. I felt like I was falling from a very great height.
Bob's mom.
That's right. Hey, it was pretty damn close.
Bob can't be in class today, signed Epstein's mother.
That's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. Okay, let's get back to this.
Well, of course, I mean, that's why you got it.
No, Mr. Jones. That's not why.
No, Mr. Jones. That's...
You cannot escape.
No, of course I didn't. He's like, you can hear him like twirling his mustache, the plaintiff's attorney.
My lawyer sent it to you, but I'm hiding it. Okay.
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones,
just answer questions. There's no question.
Mr. Jones, indoor voice, please.
Mr. Bankson, also only ask questions.
Sure. Mr. Jones, in discovery, you were asked, do you have Sandy Hook text messages on your phone? And you said no. Correct. You said that under oath, Mr. Jones, didn't you?
I mean, I was mistaken, but you got the messages right there.
You know what perjury is, right?
Oh, you know what perjury is, right? He says.
Yeah.
The most important part of this tape is, you know what perjury is, right? Can you spell it?
I just want to make sure you know before we go any further. You know what it is.
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm not a tech guy. I told you, I gave in my testimony the phone to the lawyers before, whatever, and so you've got my phone, but we didn't give it to you.
No, Mr. Jones, one more time. And please remember, if you need to assert the Fifth Amendment, you can. I need to know that you can do that. But you testified.
Okay, that's the end of that tape. Holy shit. What an amazing bit of history that is.
Yeah.
That the camera shot of him when his eyes just do this, like they just bug out of his head for a split second when it really starts to hit him. Like intellectually, it's hit him, but emotionally, it's still processing, and his eyes just go blah, like large bars.
Ahooga! Right, yeah, bugs way out of his head. His entire weeble wobble shaped body was red and inflamed at that point. Well, I don't know about the rest of his body, but his face certainly was.
His ears popped, his nose began to bleed.
Couldn't happen to a worse man.
Rolling Stone reported today that the January 6th committee is already getting a subpoena together.
Yes.
To get those messages.
Oh, yeah. So is the DOJ and so is his ex-wife.
Oh, my God. Because here was Alex Jones. This was either January 6th, 2021 or January 7th, 2021 on video in Washington, D.C., with the Capitol building in the background. Here's Alex Jones on his show right around the time of the insurrection, confessing to everything.
Then the White House told me 3 days before, we're going to have you lead the march. The Secret Service before Trump finishes 30 minutes before. So we'll lead you to a point, take you out of the front row, and lead you to the place where they want you to start the march. And Trump will tell people, go, and I'm going to meet you at the Capitol.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Alex Jones admitting that he coordinated with the White House and Secret Service about leading the crowd from the Ellipse to the Capitol building. That was allegedly his job. Now, granted, Alex Jones lies about everything, but this is an interesting little bit of tape, I think, that deserves more investigation. Who at the Secret Service did you coordinate with? And are there text messages along those lines? Are there text messages from Jones to Secret Service agents on January 6th?
Yeah, some of our missing texts could be on Alex Jones's phone.
Yes, because that's the key to erasing those text messages is there are recipients that may be outside the circle of Secret Service agents who had their phones wiped. So you've got
this is like a singularity. I mean, there's so many things radiating forth from that dumbass mistake of like surrendering his unedited phone for the last 2 years of lawsuits and plotting and crazy and divorce and just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And by the way,
the treasure trove.
The texts also reveal, these are the text messages on Alex Jones's phone. They revealed that he was warned about posting a false report about the coronavirus by a staff member, calling the report another Sandy Hook for spreading disinformation about an event. So that's just another little detail that came from Alex Jones's text messages that his lawyer accidentally sent to the plaintiff's attorney. Like a dumb shit. Yeah, that's he gets one of those.
Scum!
Okay.
The Connecticut, I can't remember which newspaper it is, but I think it was the Journal, I don't know. But Hartford overheard one of the parents of the kids saying, wait till law enforcement gets hold of those texts.
Yeah.
On the way out of the courtroom.
I love every second of this. All right, here's another bit where Alex Jones is asked about a text exchange with InfoWars reporter Paul Joseph Watson. And those of you who have listened to the show for many, many years, remember Paul Joseph Watson as the guy who first published an article on InfoWars.com about how a kindergarten teacher was teaching her students how to use a strap-on dildo.
And you got to learn sometime, Bob.
That's right. Well, it was, of course, a fake story. And Dan Bidondi took that story and ran with it and said the word dildo a bunch of times. And then Chez and I made a supercut of all the times Dan Bidondi said dildo in his report about Paul Joseph Watson's article on InfoWars.
Strap-on dildos. Dildo. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis. Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Damn dildo. Strap-on dildos. Dildo.
There you go. That was from the Paul Joseph Watson article on InfoWars.
Oh, it sounds like Joe Pesci going through Matt Schlapp's nightstand. Play it again. Play it again. What'd you find in there, Joe Pesci?
Strap-on dildos. Dildo. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis. Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Damn dildo. Strap-on dildos. Dildos.
Match slap. The new prince of pegging.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Dan Bidondi and Alex Jones, you're all familiar with Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld show on Netflix. Well, Alex Jones started his own version of that called Crazies in Cars Getting Conspiracies.
This year's a 2008 Dodge Stratus. It's got some gears in there and a steering wheel, and I've outfitted the roof with a vinegar spritzing cannon to dissipate chemtrails while I drive. I'm Alex Jones, and this is Crazies in Cars Getting Conspiracies. We're here in Newport, Rhode Island to talk conspiracies with my sidekick at InfoWars.com, Mr. Dan Bidondi.
Hello, this is Dan Bidondi from SurfRadioShow.com.
Dan, Alex Jones.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Dan, I think you're holding the phone upside down again.
Get off the line, whoever you are, because I have to call Alex Jones to be on his show.
Dan, this is Alex Jones. Dan? Dan? So, Dan, how do you like my Dodge Stratus? As you can see on the dashboard, I have a special radar warning system to alert us when Obama's weather weapons are in the vicinity. Tiny helicopters and airplanes moving tornadoes all around.
I drive slow in the driveway and all of those dings.
That's special.
I also got knowledge of the Illuminati and the occult especially.
Say, Where's a good place in Newport to talk about conspiracies, Dan?
We could go to my apartment.
But we were just there 3 minutes ago when I picked you up.
Get off at this exit.
Wait, don't grab the steering wheel. After causing a serious five-car pileup, we're here in a ditch along the highway in Rhode Island talking conspiracies.
All right, there you go. A little blast from the past, huh? All right. We've got lots more.
We were so young and innocent.
Yeah, we still have this Paul Joseph Watson clip to play. We've got a clip of Alex Jones getting caught lying about showing a clip of the judge on fire. That's still to come. This is my favorite shit in the entire world.
Scum!
I love talking about Alex Jones, especially when Alex Jones is in big fucking trouble. And he very much is. If they grant the families the entire amount that they're asking for, $150 million, Alex Jones doesn't have $150 million. I mean, he makes a lot of money. We've got some details about that here in a second. But $150 million would ruin Alex Jones. And that's just the first of four different damages hearings he's going to have to go through. Couldn't happen to a better guy, could it? Well, if you're pissed off at cable news and other very serious political analysts these days, and there's lots to be pissed off about, here's an outstanding way to support independent media, specifically this show. For just $5 per month, $5 per month, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through the madness and chaos of our politics. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. We're talking about exclusive access to our Shadow Docket show recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. You're also going to get access to the Patreon app where you can download the free shows and our bonus content. Plus, you can join the discussion with our community of Patreon members in the comments under each episode. All that for just $5 per month, pennies per show. Don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
See you.
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
Wow!
Oh.
Holy shit, that is incredible.
Excellent.
That is
beautiful, man.
The best work you guys have ever done. Astral Summer, Higher Ground, brand new world premiere single here on the show. Holy shit, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Is it up there already? Can people download it?
Yes, it is there. And hopefully soon I'll have it on Spotify and Apple Music. I just have to like work out which agency I want to go with in terms of like, streaming services. But that, you know, you can go to Bandcamp and get it now.
And that's all you, right?
This song, like, this one, it came on like a fever. I mean, it just came like an out of control train that just arrived. I just started like putting it together, and then it was like, oh well, it's gonna be 4 hours of sleep a night until this is done.
And, like, I know the feeling.
Kept adding, you know, layers and
just an incredible work, David.
Yeah.
I just like and obviously like I was thinking about my husband when I wrote it, but I was also thinking about a friend of mine who's a woman who's going through a divorce with kids, and like just the struggle that it is just to like stay strong and like, you know, be brave for your kids and everything. Mm-hmm. And also I think about like, well, I was thinking a lot about women when I was singing it, and just like Roe and just like the continuing pay inequity, and just it's fucking hard for women.
Yeah, it is.
And like, if I could, I would just like, like make a force field between the awful, awful world and the people I care about, you know, and that's kind of what that song is about.
Yeah.
It's about,
oh,
you know, whatever happens, I have got your back and I'm here and I'm getting choked up.
Yeah.
We made David cry with his own song.
That's right. Well, congratulations, David. You made yourself cry.
Yay.
But I swear to God, that fucking chorus, the hook of this song is immense.
Did you notice the jet?
You know what? I think I did.
Right overhead, at the beginning of the chorus. Yeah, because like actually writing it on the one count on the chorus was the word ground. The higher was just like hanging out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, shit. Yeah. Like, how do I build some excitement before the chorus? And I was like, a jet.
It's a great idea. Yeah, yeah. And the only downside to playing it on this show is I present the show in mono. So that's the mono version of the song. And the stereo version, where with everything separated, it's even better. So when you go and listen on Bandcamp or wherever you download your digital music from David and Astral Summer, you'll hear the whole thing in beautiful stereo. It's so incredibly well mixed, and it's just something else. You got to get this in your record collection now. All right, Astral Summer.
There's this high part in there that I was trying to get like two or three different women I know who can sing. Like, I was like, please just somebody come over and sing this line. And everybody's got like kids or they're busy. And so finally I just ended up like putting on the TARDIS pants I own.
Well, we do.
Standing on a, I just like, go ahead.
Well, we do have a singer here on the show, other than
you, can always ask me, David.
I've prevailed upon your household like rent-free so many times. Like, Lonnie, will you master this? You know, like... I was going to ask him to master this one, and I was just like, I can't. Like, every time this comes up, it's like I'm, like, overdrawn in my checking account, so I can't be like, here's $100. Will you master my songs? You know, and it's just like, I feel like such a bum.
Well, again, as always, thanks for letting us premiere this song here on the show. It's a great honor. And it's just, you know, I could say that about all of our indie recording artists, but this is something extra special, so thank you for letting us share it here. All right, let's get back to Alex Jones and...
let's get back to throwing Alex Jones into the wood chipper.
Yes, this is so much fun. This is Alex Jones talking about a text exchange with Paul Joseph Watson about Sandy Hook. This is specific evidence from his text messages that he has already lied about.
Mr. Jones, I'd like to show you what's been marked as Plaintiff's Exhibit 130. You've got it upside down.
He's got the pages upside down.
Of course he does.
And the attorney has to correct him. Hey, those things are upside down. I can't work my hands. Did you see this? I can't manipulate these pages because of my torn larynx. Surprised he didn't say that.
It's just too good. It's too real, Bob. It's like, I think some part of your brain has actually been invaded by like hostile takeover cells.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about me now. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll take that. It's just too real when you do it. I can smell the coke sweat. It's just like,
Yeah, you know who loves that impression is Kimberly Johnson. When I start talking about streaming shows, why do they have to wait a year between seasons of Cobra Kai? I blame the globalists. It's like, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Oh, you just busted out in the middle of making out, you know?
Ew, that would
you feel my hand on your TV?
She would so get out of that situation so fast.
Yeah.
It would be like a pilot ejecting from an F-15. Yeah,
it would.
Talk about losing
that
your
girl. That refrigerator would never be the same again.
If I suddenly started doing like pillow talk as Alex Jones.
Oh, no.
Yeah, can you do that thing to me again where you use your finger?
Oh, God. Ah.
Oh, my God. Please, hand me some of that lube over there. Got some, got an extra bottle of lube.
But that's, you know, what's the other attorney's name again? The ginger guy? That's,
I think,
like, the master villain now.
Mark Bankston.
Mark Bankston. Yeah. Bankston said he's not going to reveal the intimate texts.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That goes to the wife.
Oh, now I'm sick. Now I'm officially sick. That there are,
oh yes,
there's
Mr.
sexting.
Jones.
There are
indeed.
You think that like dick pics in his text messages?
Like the fucking receipts from websites and shit that have got to be, and it's like, oh man, like.
Well, his wife is going to want those quote intimate texts unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
And really detailed disclosures about fine. I mean, like his bank statements are probably coming to his email. All these little shell companies and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, along those lines, Mr. Bankston, the plaintiff's attorney, produced financial records indicating that Mr. Jones was earning revenue as much as $800,000 per day in recent years.
That's insane.
By selling,
this is after he was deplatformed.
Right, and this is by selling just diet supplements, gun paraphernalia, and survivalist gear in ads accompanying his broadcast. So that whole Super Vitality Mail thing. Look, I took Super Vitality Mail, and this is the before picture of me looking fat and doughy, and this is the after picture where I still look fat and doughy, except I got a tan. That's Super Vitality Mail. His
and
snake
apparently
oil.
His parents also own the company that he's selling the stuff through, and he's claiming that he owes money to that company, which is just bull.
Is that Free Speech Systems? Is that the
No. The Vitality company, supplements. Apparently, he and his parents own the company that makes those supplements, and he's complaining, well, I owe them $60 million. Well, what do you mean?
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
I believe it was Travis Bone or Chris Lavoie who dropped that bombshell this morning.
Well, thank you, Travis and or Chris. That's I had no idea it was that nepotistic.
Yeah. So it's just breathtakingly crooked, and just the whole thing just crashing down.
So let's go back to this clip because we keep interrupting it. This is the clip where he's challenged on a text exchange with Paul Joseph Watson.
You've got it upside down.
You got it upside down.
That's text messages between you and Paul Watson, isn't it?
Yes.
And they mention Sandy Hook, don't they?
Yep.
Yes and yes. Yes, you've been lying. Okay, now here's where Alex Jones was caught lying about presenting video on his InfoWars show of the judge on fire. Now, if you're on trial for your life here, you don't show video of your judge on fire and then lie about it
in
court.
It's just like Trump. He's a 7-year-old. Yeah. You know, like... No self-control.
You know what it is? He doesn't think he's going to get caught. He doesn't think he's going to lose all of this money. It's like dumb guy strength or something like that. Like he's,
well, it's being wealthy and never having to have your comeuppance yet. And he's very, very wealthy.
Privilege.
And he can afford to get... Yeah, it's privilege. That's what that is. That's fucking privilege going, you can't get me because then...
Right. So here he is getting caught again, lying.
Saying, Mr. Jones, that you're taking these court proceedings seriously. You're approaching them in good faith. But the truth of the matter is, you've been broadcasting repeatedly a picture of our judge on fire, haven't you?
Objection compound, Your Honor?
No.
Okay, so he's asked if he did that, and Alex Jones's answer was no. Just to be clear,
I hope that's so low.
Did you do that? No.
The person on the left of this image is our judge, correct?
Yes.
The person on the right is another judge you don't like, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're on fire. So he showed the picture in court that Alex Jones used on his show of not just the judge in this thing, but a different judge, both of them on fire. And then he says, he asks Alex Jones, did you show this on your show? And Alex Jones says, no. And then they bring up this picture and he's just like, oh, like, what did he think? Like, no one's monitoring his show?
Exactly.
God damn. It's like,
people.
Yeah, he's diabolical, but all at the same time, he's just a fucking,
idiot.
Dumb guy. Just a fucking moron. Oh, my God. So that's more or less it. The good news is, so far, Alex Jones hasn't invoked gay frogs in the hearings. That's what
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Serious crap.
How does it feel to treat me like you do?
Won't you fight for your life?
Oh my God. Just to be clear, I did not make that. That was some other guy who made that. I have no idea who made it, but yeah. Work of genius right there.
Apologies to New Order. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about Alex Jones showing a picture of the judge on fire on his show. In another broadcast, Alex Jones falsely linked the judge to pedophilia and human trafficking. And another, Mr. Jones questioned the intelligence of the jurors in the case, implying that his political enemies had handpicked blue-collar people who, quote, don't know what planet they're on and were ill-equipped to decide what monetary damages he must pay Ms. Lewis and Mr. Heslin. In written questions submitted to Mr. Jones, jurors took immediate issue with that characterization. Like, you think that's a good idea, Mr. Jones? Like, I don't know, I'm just saying shit.
God, I'm just talking. These people... God, we're just lucky they're this dumb.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he's made it this far without somebody slapping him down. Because, I mean, his whole, like...
Well, let's be clear about this. This is Alex Jones perpetrating a fraud that is endangering the lives of people who have already suffered more than people should have to suffer. Exactly. They've lost their 6-year-old children in a brutal massacre. A gun massacre in school. Where teachers were using their own bodies as human shields. And Alex Jones sicks his fucking maniac listeners on these people as though they're perpetrating a hoax to deliberately take the guns away from Alex Jones's fanboys. This is not just a matter of Alex Jones expressing his opinion. This is Alex Jones endangering lives.
Actively endangering and just tormenting people.
Yeah.
Who've already, I mean, it's not like, you know, this is a daily thing for these people.
Mm-hmm.
People calling them, threatening them, driving by their houses. I mean, it's constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
No, he deserves to fucking, like, suffer while he's here and then burn in hell at the end.
Right. Like, yeah, here's some more fun coming to us from the Justice Department, which has subpoenaed Trump's White House counsel. Pat Cipollone, Patsy Baloney, as we like to call him, as part of its investigation in the Jan 6 insurrection. Pat Cipollone, of course, is the highest-ranking White House official known to be called to testify by federal investigators. So we are squarely inside the Oval Office. This is one hop from Donald Trump, as Buzz Burbank put it on Twitter today. Cipollone witnessed Trump's efforts to overturn the election, quote, including discussions about seizing voting machines, meddling in the Justice Department, and sending false letters to state officials about election fraud, unquote. Last month, Cipollone spoke to the House Jan 6 committee behind closed doors for more than 7 hours, and we've seen lots of the results of that. Meantime, two Arizona Republicans who participated in efforts to submit fake electors claiming Trump won the state told a Trump lawyer they were concerned that the plan, quote, could appear treasonous. That's a valid concern, I would say. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is right. This is all in line with them being concerned that they're fake electors, and they even referred to. They referred to the fake electors as fake electors.
Fake electors, yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ.
So they're well aware of how this all works. Meantime, Kelly Ward, the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, and Kelly Townsend, a state senator, raised concerns to Kenneth Cheesebro, the bro of cheese, a lawyer working for Trump's campaign, about the alternate slate of electors plan because there were no legal challenges that could flip the results of Arizona's election. Cheesebro shared their concerns in a December 11, 2020 email.
It's just never going to not be funny.
I know. Cheesebro and Loudermilk.
I'm just picturing him as like the worst ambiguously gay superhero duo ever. Like, I mean, like, is a guy with a Wisconsin cheese head thing. His actual, like, head is made of cheese. And there's Loudermilk, who's, like, shaped like a bottle of milk with a megaphone.
Yeah, or he's like one of the Wonder Twins. And when they touch their fists together, he transforms into a bottle of milk.
Into soft serve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very loud. When he screams, it's very loud. That's his superpower. Cheesebro shared their concerns in a December 11, 2020 email to other members of the legal team, which included Rudy Giuliani. Despite the concern, Ward joined the efforts and signed a, quote, certificate of the votes of the 2020 electors from Arizona and claimed that Trump had won the state's 11 Electoral College votes, which he did not. Townsend, however, did not serve as one of the electors. Both have since received subpoenas from the Justice Department about the fake electors' plan. So that's another avenue. In fact, the Justice Department has been, as far as we've known, the Justice Department was on the fake electors thing, I believe, before anything else. Or at least that's what we heard of first coming from the Justice Department.
It's the most pressing to me, like with other, you know, another presidential election looming in 2024. Like that's the one we really need to put a nail in.
Right, right.
Like to completely just like riddle it with bullets and dump its body in the East River. Like,
yes. That
whole like Eastman theory of like we can just make our own electors.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they restarted that you know that big old that large hard-on collider. They restarted it, you know, and I think we're working our way back to the right timeline. That's my theory.
Yep, and it's going to turn the friggin' frogs gay is what's going to happen.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Kansas and what's next on the ballot initiative front here in just a second. Plus some more good news from the Biden White House regarding abortion rights. So that and a whole lot more as we continue through our Thursday show back after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Break freedom, took a long ride.
Like the hobo on the railroad, he took a long time.
This is the great Elijah Bones.
Stood alongside.
A song called Dark Clouds. Payroll, you know what we're doing here on the show is, I think I've decided, that's a weird way to put it. I think I've decided, I'm not sure yet, but I'm about to announce something that I have just decided. I think we're going to play some, we're going to replay some songs that we've already played as part of the indie music rotation on the program. And this is one of them. Again, it's called Dark Clouds. The website for Elijah Bone, if I can scroll up fast enough, ElijahBone.com. Or even more specific, ElijahBone.com/music. Okay. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. Once again, as we said at the top of the show, congratulations to Kansas.
Yes.
For a few things. Obviously, protecting abortion rights in Kansas, which is staggering. What did it turn out to be? 58% of Kansas voters voted against this ballot initiative that would have repealed its constitutional amendment protecting abortion rights. It's a little complicated as far as the wording and the setup goes, but
it was kind of like
it was intentionally they did that like it was a dirty trick.
Yeah,
they
did
that here with Proposition 8 with same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's why it was voted down because you didn't know which way to vote.
Right, but the thing is, though, I imagine like anti-abortion people, anti-choice people being just as confused as pro-choice people. Yeah. Some of them. So
I'm sure.
I wonder if that canceled itself out. And
it might, I think it was too overwhelming, though, because I know that there was a big push online and in ads that voting no affirms Roe, you know, basically affirms your rights in your constitution. And basically from the other ads that were really over, they said this is government overreach into your lives.
Oh, yeah. Really.
And
smart.
That scares the crap out of Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the story is about like the 10-year-old girl in Indiana, because, I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, by Kansas. And, the, you know, so.
Well, it's still kind of.
I mean, that's very real and vivid.
Yeah, right, right.
And horrible.
Well, I think this also reflects national polls showing a supermajority of Americans wanting Roe to remain intact, wanting abortion rights to remain a thing in all or most circumstances based on some of the most recent polling. And so this is all reflective of that, and not only indicates some great news for November, and we're already starting to see the national generic polls tilting heavily in favor of the Democrats. In fact, 538, Nate Silver's website, it's got Democrats and Republicans dead even nationally for the midterms.
Good.
Yeah, that's great news. So I think it's 44.2 each, Democrats and Republicans. And of course, the Democrats are trending upward, Republicans trending downward. And if that trend continues, don't get happy. I got to always say that. Please don't get happy. But this could be wonderful news for November 8th.
Do not get happy.
And in Kansas, the turnout was huge.
Yes.
For a primary for midterms, which is unheard of. So, and registration is up, and it's not just Democratic men and women. It is Republican women and some Republican men going, no.
And guess what's next? Kentucky. Kentucky has a ballot initiative coming up on November 8th, and the circumstances are slightly different insofar as Kansas was about repealing an amendment that already existed in the state constitution. The Kentucky ballot initiative would create a constitutional amendment that would ban abortion statewide. So this is a matter now with Kentucky of pro-choice activists pushing back against ratifying this amendment, this state amendment to the Constitution. So it's not necessarily a thing where if the pro-choice side wins in Kentucky that it preserves abortion rights necessarily. But what it does is it stops, from my understanding, it stops this amendment from becoming ratified in the state. So we'll have more details on that as we get closer and closer to Kentucky. I think there's another ballot initiative in Montana about it's the myth of born alive circumstances. Where there's this
you
is
kill
what
the baby after it's born.
Yeah, that's what they say happens, but it doesn't happen because you know why? It's murder to do that. You can't.
Yeah,
it's already against the law, folks.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask David a question. I read yesterday or the day before that there's starting next year, people who are at least 6 weeks pregnant can then put that embryo, fetus, whatever, on their tax returns as a dependent.
All right.
And that's in Georgia. So, a friend of mine was like, oh, no, that's great because, you know, we're these, because most of the people that are going to apply for that would be people that are less wealthy because then you get another dependent for the next 10, you know, 40 weeks, 36 to 40 weeks.
Right.
And you get that complete write off versus after it's born, you get the, you get the year anyway, by the way. If you give birth to a child on December 31st at 11:59 p.m., you get the whole year. To write it off, by the way.
If you're pro-choice, do you take that write-off, though? I mean, do you admit?
No, I wouldn't. No, and that's when that's the other thing. It's like that can also technically track a pregnancy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against it.
It's personhood bullshit. And they get – well, and in Missouri, you can't get a divorce if you're pregnant. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, and it's getting worse in West Virginia. Republicans are debating the idea of eliminating child support because the
ridiculous.
Looming threat of child support will make men try to convince their pregnant wife or girlfriend or whatever into leaving the state to get an abortion so they won't have to pay child support.
Yeah, that's some interesting thoughts.
That's
in
a
West
real
Virginia,
thing.
Some cousins could totally bankrupt each other with child support.
Yeah, here's Republican
Ruin
Chris.
The whole family inheritance.
Republican Chris Pritt on the floor of the West Virginia legislature talking about this very issue.
Who doesn't want to really be involved in the life at all, really. He knows that if she carries through the pregnancy, he's going to have possibly some sort of child support obligation. And so what he wants to do is he wants to, in a sense, encourage her to go and find a way to get an abortion, because he knows that if it's a certain individual, if he has any kind of familiarity with her, he knows that she might be of such a state of mind, she may be in such a vulnerable position that she decides it's not worth everything he's going to put me through to carry this pregnancy forward. It's going to be easier. It's going to be better for me to go and just terminate this life. And so what she does is she goes over to Virginia.
Over.
She goes over to some other state
over to some
where
other state.
Abortion is legal, and she goes and gets the abortion. Okay. And so I think that's a really clear possibility if we enact the Second Amendment here. I don't want
to
be doing anything
do
whatsoever that is encouraging folks to go and get an abortion.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the Second Amendment in the state constitution. Maybe.
Okay, so
he's
like,
having to spend so many words. I mean, like, all, you know, good ideas are simple in a way. Like, and when you have to come up with a hypothetical, it's just like, and she's a Martian, and he tells her that she needs to have an abortion. Is it a Martian abortion? Like, I mean, it's just he's like so far out in the like hypotheticals that it's just like, dude, you sound like you're making up excuses for like why you didn't come home for curfew. Yeah.
What he wants to do is make men not responsible for the sperm donations that they tend to give, because like I've said to everybody, and I'm sure you know this, women don't have to have an orgasm to get pregnant.
Right.
Men have to have an orgasm to get women pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, or people pregnant, excuse me. So he just doesn't want the sperm givers or donors or rapists or whatever you want to call them to be responsible for what they
in
do.
Any way.
Yeah.
It's just one more way of cutting off any financial, like any support.
It's making
for the
women
lives
more
that they
dependent.
Claim that they want to save, like, over, you know, life, you know, begins at conception and ends at birth. So, like, no preschool, no school lunches,
no food,
no
child clothing,
support,
no rent.
No, like, you know, so, but, you know, you have to have it. Like, it's just.
Right.
I think the Republicans are looking at more of a long view with this, too, insofar as there's been lots of speculation and ideas bouncing around about expanding child support to encourage men who are otherwise anti-abortion, anti-choice, to be more responsible about what they're doing, to make the punishment of all of this not just confined to pregnant women, but
thank
also
you.
To the men who are responsible for those pregnancies, too.
Yep.
And I think they're trying to head that off the pass. I really do.
I agree. This is a preemptive strike.
Yeah.
So they want a bunch of poor women, because in general, it's poor women that are going to bear the burden of this shit.
Yeah.
So they want poor women to be saddled with many, many children that they say they keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And then so more on the dole. I mean, is it so that they have slave labor in the future? I don't quite understand this. I don't understand the end game on the one half of the equation not having to be responsible for their children that are on the planet. But the other half has to be completely and utterly responsible, but the state ain't going to help them.
No.
So what the fuck?
I wrote something for the Banter newsletter, thebanter.substack.com, about the possibility of using ballot initiatives as a way to roll back some of these laws. And there are quite a few red states that have complete or almost complete bans on abortion where they also have ballot initiatives and the possibility of that. And so if we can win back some of those states just using ballot initiatives, as what happened in Kansas, I mean, once again, Kansas being a perfect test subject,
right?
Given that Kansans, 56-58% of Kansans were like, yeah, we want to keep abortion legal here. That could apply to all kinds of other red states.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we avail ourselves of that, I think that's significant pushback where we don't have to wait for the balance of power in the state legislatures to shift to the Democrats, especially given that there's such rampant gerrymandering protecting Republican legislators. So that's an opportunity.
I feel like You may excuse me of hyperbole, but mm-hmm. like one of the only times that history has been defied and that the president in power's party gained seats in the midterm FDR. Election was Bush.
W. Oh, 2002. Bush. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I feel like the repeal of Roe is like a 9/11 for women, American mm-hmm.
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a terror attack.
Yeah.
Basically on your rights, mm-hmm. on all of our rights too, because they're coming for the queers and everybody else too. Like once they get done with women. So it's like,
oh, and they're coming for contraception.
Yeah, that too.
And I feel like they are, hopefully wildly underestimating just like how pissed off mm-hmm. women are. And like, look at Kansas, you know, Republican women are voting this down because it's like, no, get out of my medical decisions.
Right, right.
Get out of my personal choices. This is not small government. This is not, you know, what they purportedly wanted, when, you know, so it's.
Well, I have a question, Bob. How many states do have ballot initiatives available? But so I know California does because we're insane with
there
those.
There are 26 states, I believe, overall. Okay, so I'm now looking up the red states that have this this ballot initiative possibility on the books where you can actually uh-huh. avail yourselves of this process. And out of 26 total states nationwide, the red uh-huh. states are. These are red states with some form of ballot initiative on the books that you can actually uh-huh. use. Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Idaho, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. And for what it's worth, the Kansas initiative was proposed by the state legislature through a process right. called legislative referral. So that is kind of, that's not a citizen-generated
right.
initiative.
That's even funnier that they lost.
Right, right. And I think it's the same with Kentucky. I think that's how the Kentucky initiative is being brought up by the state legislature itself. 14 Trump-supporting red states where there's a solid possibility of victory. Because once again, you have that test market in Kansas, and the overwhelming support of that ballot, or the overwhelming opposition to that ballot initiative, if that translates to these other states, that's phenomenal news. That's phenomenal. We just have to get it on the ballot, get these initiatives right. on the ballots. And it won't happen in time, I don't believe, for the midterms, but it'll happen yeah. in time for the fall primaries or some of the spring, summer primaries and beyond. So keep in mind the long view on this as well.
That's the other thing about the Kansas vote is that they tried to sneak it into a Republican primary election day because Republicans were the only people who were planning to vote that day.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it was going to be, you know, a shoe-in.
Right.
And they still lost. But like I said, again, I feel like women feel this. I mean, the white men that run the media and like the Senate and the, you know, the Supreme Court are underestimating how personal and brutally like a physical attack this is on women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To hear about 9-year-old girls that have been raped and have to cross state lines to get an abortion. And then mm-hmm. the doctor gets, you know, attacked by the state attorney general for doing her legal, doing her job.
Yeah, exactly.
It just...
Oh, by the way, elsewhere, California and Vermont also have initiatives reinforcing existing law. So that's something to bear in mind when you go and vote in California and Vermont. So just for example here, Arkansas, with Roe overturned, abortions in Arkansas are banned in all cases except life endangerment, rape, incest, or severely compromised physical health. This could be reversed through a ballot initiative if activists can collect 89,151 signatures. In Arkansas. I think that's doable. And you get 100 of your friends together, each one collects, you know, around 1,000 signatures, you're golden. In Christy Nome, South Dakota, abortion is banned in all cases except life-endangering medical emergencies. But if 33,921 signatures are collected, abortion could become legal again. So these are all things to bear in mind, on top of the fact that Joe Biden announced that he plans to sign an executive order to support individuals traveling out of state for an abortion. Both orders direct Health and Human Services to consider all appropriate actions to ensure healthcare providers comply with federal non-discrimination laws so that women receive medically necessary care without delay. It also calls for HHS to consider action to advance access to abortion, including through Medicaid and for those who travel out of state. Thank you, Brandon. awesome news there, too.
I feel like the anti-choice people made the mistake that a lot of Democrats make when we think Twitter is the real world.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think the anti-choice people were like, they think that because they landed this, like, coup on the Supreme Court, that they're therefore going to, like, make this a groundswell of support for them, but it's only on the Supreme – the Supreme Court is not the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I just feel – and – this is just a fucking, like, stink ball of an issue for them. Like, this is really something, like we said, 50 years of settled law, and women are fucking pissed off. Like, we were done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had, you know, you cannot come for our settled rights.
Right.
And I just feel like they are really, like, they thought that they overreached, and now it's going to cost them, I hope. I really hope that the midterms are a fucking blue bloodbath.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah. And regarding Twitter, I'm glad you brought that up, David, because that's one of the things I've been thinking about, too, which is that no one was talking about Kansas on Twitter up until it actually passed.
Yeah.
So the shit that we end up talking about on Twitter and debating on Twitter and rending our garments over, oh, my God, we're getting destroyed and it's going to be a disaster. And Twitter is where hope goes to die on Twitter. And it turns out that, oh, my God, there were these activists, hundreds, if not thousands of them, on the ground in Kansas, going door to door, knocking on doors, explaining what this initiative was all about, getting out the vote. Doing the hard work, hitting the pavement, that's a big fucking deal that we don't talk about on Twitter. That needs to change. More state issues need to be discussed on social media. You see someone talking about a state legislature race, you retweet that shit. You share that shit on Facebook. That's the only way we break through. Because you know why? You know how the Republicans were able to attain all of this fucking... power to overreach on abortion and guns and all the rest of it, voter suppression.
By showing up.
By showing up for state legislature elections. They weren't sitting those things out. They were taking them seriously, and they were doing the work from the bottom up, not the top down. So lots of contrarians and dirtbags and so on talking about, oh, my God, why doesn't Joe Biden give me a pony? Are any of those people talking about what's happening in their state legislature? No. Do they even know who their state legislators are?
I think there's an actual reverse correlation between the people who do the most on Twitter and the people who do the most on the ground.
They're generally
busy, like, registering voters and driving people to the polls and shit and not running their mouths on Twitter or hanging out by their pool.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. God. What a day,
I have breaking news. I don't know if... Did you hear the Breonna Taylor... indictment of an officer involved in the police raid on Breonna Taylor. There's been an indictment. That's
DOJ.
Good.
That's Merrick Garland, good. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Garland announced
three
that.
Three of the officers. Yeah. There was a cover up, and he literally said Breonna Taylor should be alive today because they conspired to cover it up.
Right. You know what? You don't fuck around with Merrick Garland on cases like this.
That man knows what he's doing. I'm sorry. He's really good at that shit.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And it's very clear at this point that he's on top of the 1-6 investigation. He's on top of the big lie, the stop the steal, the whole election fraud conspiracy orchestrated by Donald Trump and his henchmen. This is something they're doing.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Getting back on the proper timeline.
Exactly.
Moving away from the darkest timeline because of the Large Hard-On Collider. Thank you very much.
That's it. That must be what it is. It's also, you know what, a Democratic Party that's decided, hey, you know what, maybe putting success stories closer to the election actually works. That's what I think is going on here. We're seeing a lot of successes stacking up with just a couple of months to go, and actually less time than that before people start getting their mail-in ballots. Really smart politics going on the Democratic side. It's just we're still locked in this thing. The bar is
also pretty low after the last administration. I mean, it was infrastructure week forever.
Yeah, that's true. But look, if this Inflation Reduction Act had come up when it was Build Back Better last November, you think people would remember it now? Of course not.
No, I think it's smart that they're doing it now. The closer to an election, the better.
Yes, exactly what I'm saying. And so I think that's all strategic. I think the fact that gas prices are coming down now.
Yeah.
Maybe strategic there. I don't know what's necessarily driving it from a White House perspective, but if the White House has anything to do with gas prices dropping, that's very well timed, suffice to say. So that's just a theory I've been thinking about. Like, we're way closer to the election than we think. And we're getting lots of success stories. And in the past, shit like this has happened like a year out, which is kind of useless politically, at least in terms of elections. So that's all great news. And we've got more news to come. Speaking of gas prices, going to talk about gas prices coming up on the Shadow Docket. Plus, oh my God, the passage of the PACT Act. We're going to talk about that finally.
Yeah. Thank you, John Stewart.
Right. And more text message deletions. We're going to get into that. And a whole lot more coming up next. BobSeskaShow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Strap on dildos. Dildo. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis. Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Damn dildo. Strap on dildos. Dildo.